Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Chris, you like that, don't you? You're a fan?
It was one of my favorites here a couple years ago. For one, okay. It has a history of always following the weekend of my birthday.
Yeah.
And I love the Elimination Chamber match, so it was like a birthday present for me every year. Like, matter of fact, last year, we all came over and we all had like a little birthday dinner as we watched
Elimination Chamber.
Right. Can't do that this year. I've got to work, but whatever. Ooh. And you know what? It's okay because I'm not all that excited for the pay-per-view.
Well, here's the thing. I would be excited for this pay-per-view if WrestleMania wasn't next. And because...
True. And because we're all just ready for that to start.
Well...
Which will happen, essentially, the day after this pay-per-view.
Well, in that kind of, but so much of it is like this year, so much of WrestleMania feels predetermined that, you know, where we know what's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that happened at Royal Rumble led to the previous general assumptions of WrestleMania.
Right.
That everything feels basically all the outcomes are predetermined in the Elimination Chamber, where, like, if I did not know what was coming next, I would be interested in Rock and CM Punk. I'd want to know what the storyline was
going. Oh, yeah, but so we know, like, what's going to happen. Yeah, we know what's going to happen because we know what it's going
to
set.
If they didn't clearly have to keep, you know, make sure John Cena looked like a credible threat because they're about to throw him against The Rock, I'd be really interested in the Shield match. Shield made a great promo that in any other situation, I'd be invested in their match.
Great now, promo. Terrible ending, but
well, yeah.
It's the same ending we got the week before. Week before, yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing is, I'm just, you know, I was like, well, I know that they've got to make John Cena look powerful because they're about to say that he's a credible, you know, opponent for The Rock to face. So
well,
there's
I mean,
no way.
Winning the Royal Rumble already state that, though.
You think if three guys who have been in the company for,
well, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
three
yeah,
months.
Those guys are totally going to be, you know, look like they're getting curb stomped.
But I know.
They're going to look like that zombie in last week's Walking Dead with Glenn pulled out of the truck. You haven't seen it, have you?
I have seen it.
But you know, like that.
It's the first episode of Walking Dead I've seen since season one. So I was watching being like, wow, I have no idea what's going on.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder when Blah 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 is going to come back. They're probably dead now.
But you know, like, he opens, like, the truck and it kind of jumps out of him, but he doesn't even blink. Just takes him and just stomps the crap out of him.
Yeah, I know.
That's essentially what I'm assuming this match against the Super Friends is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
You know, the Shield, they've been, you know, running roughshod over everyone.
Let's talk for a minute. I don't understand why this match is not in a chamber.
Right? Like, it. Even if they don't even use the chambers, just have the cage down there. That's what I really want. To be honest with you, that's what I wanted for Punk and Rock. I wanted them just to lower the cage down.
Yeah.
And just have them fight in there. That way, no, there's no outside interference, which was, you know, what was the big issue last
time. Now that has to have, you know, because they made a big point of, you know, should. Here, okay, here's something that really bothers me, is this champion advantage where you can retain the championship if you lose by disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for that because whatever. You should be a regular match for the title.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. Whatever. I can live with that. But every time they take away that champion advantage and the stipulation is, if the champion loses by disqualification or countout, the thing will revert. The champion has to stand up. And Rock did it this week where he says that now the odds are stacked against him. And they're not. They're stacked evenly now. that's exactly what's being happened, is two very even stacks.
Well, yeah, but if... I would say it's even. Because if CM Punk gets disqualified, he doesn't get the belt.
Rock gets the belt?
Well,
if CM Punk gets disqualified,
no, I'm talking about CM Punk. Like, if CM Punk is disqualified, he doesn't get the belt. If Rock gets disqualified, he loses the belt.
Yeah.
So it would be a little bit more stacked whoever, against Rock.
Whoever wins the match gets the title.
Yes.
So that's an even match. The winner gets to win.
Let's put it this way. Okay. The countout rule. Okay. The countout.
Okay.
Say you're knocked out cold.
Knocked out cold.
And CM Punk doesn't make it back before 10. He doesn't get the belt.
Right.
If that happens to The Rock, he loses the belt.
Yes.
Do you not see how, like, Rock has a little bit more of a disadvantage than that? Like, he has actual stuff to lose if he gets disqualified. CM Punk, he would get nothing.
If he loses, he gets nothing. He should get nothing because he loses. If The Rock loses, he should get nothing as well. The loser should get nothing, and the winner should get the title. I'm not pandering to some sort of interloping rocket science genius man pattern here. Winner get prize, loser go home. This is very simple.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm a little... I've been taking NyQuil.
That's why I'm talking like winner get prize, loser go home.
Am I not making sense?
No, not to me.
Then we might have picked a wrong time to podcast.
I get what you're going for.
Right.
I don't care.
Fair enough.
I don't.
You made that obvious.
It's
I kept changing my scenario. You kept not changing your answer.
Because it should be that simple.
Fair enough.
Part of the thing is what the person could lose, quote unquote, is their number one contendership.
Right.
Because number one contendership is so easy to come by, it, you know, is kind of a moot point, but, you know, if there was theoretically, you know, this build up and this trying to earn the right to challenge for the championship, make it more of a prestigious thing.
Right.
Then, but no. You win, you lose. That's how you decide who gets the belt.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yes, me too.
But so, again, so all like, that I, was... like I said, I would much rather them just lower the cage and just the two of them just duke it out in there. I think that would be interesting to me.
I would rather have the Shield and Super Friends fight in an Elimination Chamber than have these guys fight in an Elimination Chamber.
Well, yeah.
Because that would also, I want all six of these dudes in the ring at the same time. Because I'm very much done with people standing on the side in tag team matches. Unless it's Survivor Right. Series elimination style. That's the only time where I'm really actually interested in the trading in and out.
Right.
Of stuff.
Well, and see, then the reason they might not be doing the whole Elimination Chamber thing is as whenever people get released from the pods... half the time you're going to have an odd number of people in there, right. So you're going to get the gang mentality.
Well, that's the whole shtick of the Shield right now. That's absolutely how I'd book it. I'd have, like Ryback and Rollins, and then the next two people I'd bring out are Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
Hmm.
I don't remember which one's which. But yeah, I would have the Shield and I'd have them throughout Ryback so that Team Super Friend is at a perpetual disadvantage.
I was thinking the other way around of, of course Shield's going to get dismantled if it's 2-1.
No, I mean, and I would, this is obviously working in a way that John Cena still has to win and be Superman because you have to stack him up.
And then there is a little bit of that interest in just keeping it as a tag team match because... We haven't seen any of these Shield guys one-on-one
right.
at all. And part of me is wondering, are they finally going to ditch the vests for this? I doubt it.
I don't know.
But I'm kind of ready for it. I told one of our Twitter followers that, because she was wondering, I was like, what are the vests for? Is there a parachute? Do you keep weapons in their bullets or something? And I was like, obviously it's for spare burritos. Because why else?
That's what I keep
in my chest. Or Skittles.
I don't like Skittles.
I have my moments.
No.
No Skittles?
I would.
Burritos are fine, though.
I would really like to see somebody throw Skittles mid-match, though. Like Pocket Sand style.
Okay, and just one more note on the Shield. Dean Ambrose really should be the only one who's allowed to talk.
Dean Ambrose should be the only one who's allowed to Rollins talk. But he should never have any say on what his hair is supposed to look like. Because what was that crazy, like, Superman curl that gave up halfway through that he was wearing?
I think that was just bite. Like, his hair was wet and it just kind of, like, stuck like that.
Boo. Boo.
Fine.
Boo that hairdo.
But like I said on Twitter, he would make a great mobster.
Yeah, he got a little Boston-y.
Yeah, he got a...
This week.
I think he could pull off a little mare. Just a little mare.
Mare.
Rollins, he can step in and say some stuff every now and then. We should limit Roman Reigns to only doing the Believe in the Shield yell. And that should be really it.
Yeah.
Because everything he says seems a little awkward.
Yeah.
And he's a... I don't know. I don't really find him that menacing right yet.
Well,
and he's a big dude.
I'm not wild about the silent enforcer character.
Right.
It seems. I mean, it's too much of.
That's what they tried originally with Biggie Langston. But,
yeah. Well,
but I'm loving him talking now.
You know, Steroid Carlton is an amazing character. I love it.
And he is so fun on Twitter.
Yeah.
Holy.
Absolutely. God. So, but you know. The silent enforcer just screams, can't act.
Right. And that's obviously not Big E, but it's kind of...
Yeah.
It's what Roman Reigns is.
It is.
And it's kind of what Ryback is.
And then, you know, here's the thing, like, I can still look past that, because Brock Lesnar is the absolute, like, he should always be silent enforcer.
Right. And I'm starting to feel like Ryback should be the same thing.
Yeah. So... I would be interested, but they need to have mouthpieces, and when they don't, and when the Shield eventually breaks up, you know, a silent enforcer only works as long as there's a group.
Right. Yeah.
So I understand the need if they genuinely believe in this guy as a future star. I understand the need to try and give him some mic time, right. And hopefully these. Two guys, you know, one of which is Dean Ambrose, you know, being two-thirds of that group will hopefully mask over his poor mic skills and help him to elevate his mic game. So, I can look past it for now.
Right, and I mean, I feel like we have, like, you know, in the past couple months, it's just now it's just seeming more and more obvious that he really needs some work on the mic.
Yeah. No, he does.
But he's not the worst.
He's not the worst.
He wasn't Darren Young in the Nexus. Because, dear Lord.
God, Darren Young was bad.
He was really bad when he was with Nexus.
Yeah. Just. He absolutely was. I am really surprised that Darren Young is still, like, on my TV. Like, I enjoy primetime players now. But.
Yeah, I'm more partial to Titus, though.
I mean, I enjoy them both. I think they're entertaining.
Right.
They're not my favorites, but I don't, you know, hate the fact that they're on there.
Right. You don't roll your eyes every time they come on screen.
Right. But, oh, man, like, just to look at, like, if you had told, like, Height of Nexus Joel that Darren Young was still going to be around and that Otunga was going to be one of your favorites, I'd be like, no. No, no.
No. But if you sat there and told me that Michael Tarver wouldn't even be in the company, I would have been like, yeah, I believe it.
I buy that.
Again, I don't know if he is with the company or not. I'm assuming he's not.
Did you notice that they had jobbers that weren't JTG again this week?
What do you mean?
When Alex Riley and Yoshi.
Oh, yeah. No. See, I really think the last time we saw Alex Riley on Raw was another backstage promo. Where he got punched by Big Show. I really think that was the last time we've seen it. And it was a few months ago.
I have no idea about
it. It's believable.
Yeah. If you said that without the I think, I would not have questioned it.
Because I think it was back. It was back when Cena was feuding Big Show. I think it was around that. Because him and Alex Riley were like all buddies backstage. So it was something along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah. Sounds plausible to me.
Fair.
It's
Probably. But we got to see Yoshi on Raw.
I love Yoshi.
I know you do for some weird reason.
One match. Was like 10 minutes long. Impressive. He did really good.
Have you seen any of his matches since?
No.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I've seen some, and he's fine.
They're okay.
But he had one match that looked really good at, and it was right when I started watching, and it was on Raw, and I was like, yeah, Yoshi Tatsu.
I remember that, because you thought he was going to be like the next big thing, man.
I didn't think it was going to be the next big thing.
I don't know. You were pretty adamant about him.
I really like him, but he can't talk. So he's I did think Evan Bourne was on his way to being a top star. Honestly,
I wasn't so sure, but I didn't disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I had to predict back then, like Evan Bourne and John Morrison would have been my future stars to predict.
Yeah.
So which at the time justifiable thoughts.
Right.
But, nope. So, still John Cena.
Yeah, still John Cena. And I guess we can all just hope for Kofi to do something.
Come on, Kofi. Just
anything.
Come on, Kofi.
Right now, to be honest with you, I think the guy with the biggest upside at this point would probably be Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of potential. Like, right now, the way I see it is, if he gets a new gimmick, any new gimmick, he's going to the moon.
Yeah.
He, just him just going all, like, Hulk and Loki on Miz.
Yeah.
Is fantastic.
No, he is. He has so won me over in the ring.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, I don't even care that he's using the dopey, huge American flag and the man purse and all that stuff. I don't even care.
No, I'll take it. Good prediction. I'll back you on Antonio.
Yeah. And I know, okay, I was going to say Damian Sandow. He's a little bit older than
he is. I don't know how much faith the company has in Sandow compared to our faith in Sandow. Because...
Well, it seems like it's growing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I would love for Cody Rhodes to be also in that conversation.
Yeah. Cody is young enough. That's
Cody is young enough. They need to get behind him.
Yeah.
And the same with Sandow. It seems like Cesaro, they've been a little bit quicker to get behind him.
Right. Well, Sandow's character is very much a gimmick that I could see being a, like, lower mid-card character.
Right.
You know? And so, the fact that he is still... You know, still not a joke character is a little reassuring, but it's a slippery slope. I don't think it would take much to drop Sandow into forever.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it wouldn't take much for them to drop most people, you know. But yeah, I get what you're saying with Sandow.
Well, I mean, I think Del Rio is pretty safe at this point.
Yeah. Guys who get like a really good gimmick that sticks. With the fans, you know, like Punk.
Yeah.
Del Rio, he's kind of getting there.
Well, I mean, Punk is safe forever, but I don't think he's got that much more time.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, as long as they're still in the company. You right. know? To be honest with you, for anyone that's not named John Cena, I really think the safest person is Kofi.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter... What he's done lately, or what he hasn't done lately, he's going to get a reaction out of the crowd.
He is, and he's the go-to guy. You know,
right?
You have 6 matches a year that you have to have a Kofi spot in.
Oh yeah,
and it has to be a high spot. But right now, that's just a Kofi spot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think Kofi is
he really is their only like big high spot guy.
Yeah,
you know.
So they need to. Right. Make another one.
Or at least, you know, most reliable one that they have all year.
Right.
I should say.
Well, I mean, I think Tyson Kidd could have been groomed into that position, but...
Right.
He's out.
But, yeah, he's out. I mean, but you never know how they might use him later on.
Yeah.
And they could always start using Justin Gabriel. He has Justin Gabriel, you know, I'm not a huge fan of him, but he has kind of that potential.
Yeah. I haven't seen Justin Gabriel in a long time.
No, me either. And I mean, I know they teamed him and Tyson Kidd up quite a bit.
Right.
But so, no, I haven't seen him a lot either.
I mean, yeah, like last I saw of him, he was at the good potential stage.
Right.
And so as far as I know, he's still at the good potential. I don't know if that potential has been expanded on at all.
One quick thing between, what was it, him and Cesaro? Like right when Cesaro, I don't know.
Maybe. If that was just like a match on Raw.
Well, yeah, maybe like had a, he had like one, I think one U.S. championship match on a pay-per-view at some point last year.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, tell me what you think of this Fandango fella.
What do you? I'm think? Excited. Okay, well, see, here's the thing. I'm
pray tell why.
Well, first of all, it's Johnny Curtis.
Okay, pray tell why. Have you ever liked Johnny Curtis without Maxine?
His debut promos.
His pun gimmicks.
His pun gimmicks. They didn't make me laugh. I've been catching up on another wrestling podcast that usually features wrestlers. I don't know if I should say the name on our podcast because, you know, free advertising.
Is it Cult?
Yeah. Who started wrestling?
Is that the one? The podcast?
That's what I was trying to make obvious without saying it, but okay. I'm getting caught up on our wrestling, and I went back and I listened to the one he had with Johnny Curtis. And at the time, they were pretty much right in the middle of him doing those vignettes, those promos with the puns and the spilled milk crying thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just seems like a fun dude that genuinely loves what he's doing. So I'm hoping that this is something that he really is going to have fun with.
Here's the thing, like, he really did seem like that, like, in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
He really seemed like that on NXT. I'm a little worried that the Fandango character will not let him do that. Right. Now, I don't know a lot about the Fandango character.
No, because all we've seen is, you know, it's mostly cut in and, you know.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of his crotch this past Monday.
Yes. Quite a zoom in. But
it's not my thing, but, you know, I can see how it has its demographic.
Yeah. But it's a thing where I really do want to see Johnny Curtis on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping,
to be honest with you.
Because it's such a strong gimmick.
Right.
You know, and that's a thing where, like, you know, we got a lot of generic people. Like, Alex Riley is, you know, he's pretty interchangeable with so many other people.
Right.
So to come out with this very distinct, different gimmick. Same thing with Husky Harris and having his new shtick.
Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
I'm ready for him to get healthy.
So, that's a thing where, like...
And see, that's something that I'm a little bit afraid of with Bo Dallas, because he seems a little bit more generic, typical, you know, wrestler.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where you don't want to over-gimmick somebody, you know, right. And that's what we're all kind of afraid of with Fandango, because he's going to be... What is he? He's going to be a skinnier Brodus Clay?
Well,
we don't know.
Here's the thing: is like I don't think Honky Tonk Man would work today.
Absolutely not.
And so
no.
And so to teeter into that territory, you do hit Brodus Clay, and I think as long as Brodus Clay, and I still am entertained by Funkasaurus, but as long as you do that, he's never going to be this legitimate,
right?
You know, it's what Punk said. It's a heel being right again.
Here's my hope about Fandango.
Okay.
I'm hoping this is like a... Okay, we remember his most recent character at NXT, the creepy dude with the van with Maxine with him, who just... Maxine was like his co-conspirator.
Right.
But on his own, he was just creepy.
Right.
I mean, the Maxine would be like, ew. Or something like that. I'm hoping that this is just like... That character turned up like 1,000, where he's like the creepy dance instructor or something. I think that could have a lot of potential comedic wise.
Yeah.
If anything, he would be set as far as backstage pre-tape stuff.
But at the same time, you still gotta be good, like in the ring.
Oh yeah.
And just on an entertaining factor in a way that's not straight comedic. Here's the thing, like, go back to like early John Cena when it was very straight that you know Thuganomics thing, where it was a very distinct character, it was a very distinct gimmick. Mm-hmm. He wasn't funny, but he was still very entertaining when he was doing the rap battles.
And now he's neither.
Yes, now he's a generic wrestler.
Right.
He's just John Cena, the generic wrestler.
Like, he's essentially the same character, but toned down.
Yes.
Right. And they really can do that with anybody, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean,
just tone it down a notch, and that's how they become, like, a top-level guy, really. If it's someone who's coming out of that heavy of a gimmick, all they have to do is just tone it down some.
Right.
Because they could, to be honest with you, they could probably easily do that with Zack Ryder. Just tone down his character a little bit, and he'll be right above at the top. And believable at the top.
Zack Ryder?
Right.
I don't know. He might be too far gone.
Well, I mean, he would need a lot of work between here and there, obviously. Like, yeah. You know, there's... This is, like, between point A and point, like, W.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of points in between.
Okay.
A-W. I totally did that by mistake.
Alright.
Still made it funny.
Alright. I want to say, I was actually kind of entertained by The Rock this week.
Remind me what he did.
He did the crackhead in the car story.
But that had nothing to do with anything.
I know.
And to be honest with you, I was more put off by the fact that he was in a bar at 15. That really struck a chord with me. I was like, is this... And I said on Twitter, is this a story about how you're dealing with your alcoholism? Because this isn't normal. Even for Tennessee.
Here's the thing, though. He did not... The real reason I've not enjoyed The Rock is this insane over-panderance to the fans.
Right.
This overwhelming
the story was, though. It was, you know, when he was in Nashville or whatever.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, it had that. And he's always going to pander. He's always going to pander to the fans, and he's always going to catch phrase bingo.
Right.
You just, that's what you get with The Rock now. But this one, I mean, there was a story with, you know, entertaining bits in it. And we're not going to, what I would love is The Rock that came back that very, very first promo that tore up John Cena. That very first time, like, ran 20 minutes long. Right before WrestleMania 27.
He was first announced that he was going to be the host.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm with you.
Like, that Rock felt like old school Rock. And going back and watching it, it still does.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I,
you know, it's something that it could very easily be, you know. And for that whole long time, I was caught up in catchphrase bingo. I was going, you know, he said it again, yay! He doesn't say that anymore, he does.
I wasn't that far behind you, totally, completely, but then he kept doing that.
Right.
It was nothing new.
Right.
So, fine, I get what you're saying. Story, it was something different, blah, blah, blah.
It was something different. It was something entertaining. It was not, you know, be all that you can be 24/7, just bring it, motivational speaker.
Although we're probably going to get another, like, pre-match speech like last time.
I don't care for that.
I don't care for it either. At that point, that made it obvious that, you know, yeah, there's no way he's not winning now. Like, we knew he was probably going to, but at that point, it was pretty much confirmed.
I mean, I'm not... It did...
Especially when they shot over to his mom, and they talked about her story, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on. CM Punk, where's your sick family?
I mean, the crackhead car story, it didn't do much for the match, for the build-up for the match.
Nothing to do with the match.
But honestly, yeah, the boxing with God thing, that's it. That's as much as you can get. Like, I could not have been more invested in this feud than right then at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was so in and so down, and that phraseology was squandered on that match.
Yeah, and to be followed up with the tattoo joke.
Yeah,
that Rock made.
The extended tattoo joke. Yeah. Tattoo joke would have been fine.
If it was
an eighth of what the length of it was. But, I mean, so here's the thing. It's gonna be a good match because CM Punk can't have a bad match.
Are you sure?
The other one was still a good match. Like,
I mean, but you're saying he can't have a good match or a bad match.
Unless he actively decides, today I shall have a bad match.
I'm pretty sure we can go back in like ECW archives.
I'm not saying he's never had a bad match.
And find that one match or a couple matches between him and Elijah Burke.
I'm not saying he's never had a bad match.
Because that dude can make anyone look freaking terrible.
I am saying that CM Punk, right now, top of his game, can go in the ring with anybody and have a match worth watching.
Alright.
I'll stand by that.
Alright.
I'm fine.
So, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I know.
You know? That's my job on the show.
But
it's my shtick.
I'm saying, yeah, like pick a person in the roster. I think obviously, if they actively decide I shall be the person Punk has a bad match with, they can blow it. But even the like stiffest, most untalented guy on the roster goes in the ring with Punk. I think Punk can make him look good.
Kali.
Yeah.
you'll believe it.
I mean,
like we're talking like. Today, 2013.
I am not sure Kali cares. I'm not sure Kali is totally coherent of what happens in the ring.
I think he is. And I think he really means well. It's just his body won't allow him to. I think that has more to do with it than anything.
Well, no. See, I mean, Kali is never going to be champion again.
No.
I don't think he's striving for that.
Shouldn't be.
I don't think he's striving for that. I think he is very content at where he is in the company, right. I don't think he tries to go out and have great matches. I do think if Kali wanted to have a great, memorable match and was put in the ring with Punk, Punk could work with him and we'd be impressed by Kali. It might break Kali beyond ever having a match again.
Or walking.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying do it.
I don't think anyone was.
But
to be fair.
But I think a lot of the problems with Kali is that nothing is put into a Kali match.
Right.
And so, all right. Shall we move on to predictions?
I still think it would be hard for Sin Cara to have a good match against anyone.
Oh, no, Sin Cara, easy. Sin Cara is a fantastic performer that just botches a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would just be nothing but a botch fest. It won't even be CM Punk's fault. There would be nothing he can do about it.
He'll make it look good.
No, he won't.
He'll do it.
He'll make everything he does look good. And he'll try with Sin Cara, but Sin Cara will just screw it up.
No.
So I think Sin Cara would make that match terrible in spite of Punk's efforts.
I don't even think Sin Cara is that bad. I think Sin Cara is wildly uncomfortable in the WWE wrestling style. And wildly uncomfortable wrestling against the WWE wrestling style. I think CM Punk can adapt his style to make Sin Cara more comfortable, less likely to botch, less obvious botches. I fully believe CM Punk can pull a great match out of Sin Cara.
I think he's terrible.
You're nodding in agreement.
No, I'm nodding.
I know what your words are saying, but you're nodding, which means agreement.
No. I am slightly nodding because I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm not acknowledging that I'm hearing what you're saying. I still think you're freaking wrong.
No. Don't you remember when Sin Cara first came out and we thought he was good? Like, first week?
First week. And then the very next week, he started screwing up a lot.
First 2 weeks.
And then, like, 2 months later, we were like, oh, he looks like he's getting replaced. But we ended, found out later it was going to be the whole Epico thing. Or not Epico thing. Unico.
Yeah, the twin Sin Caras.
Yes. And you know what? I would have been okay if they just replaced him.
No. Go back, watch some of those, like, especially on SmackDown, Sin Cara versus Daniel Bryan. Some of the best free matches that year.
Yeah, but it was still hard to look at because it was all dark. I hate the lights that they use. I'm sorry. It's distracting, and you can't really see things that well. Especially if it goes up to the apron.
My point is, that Daniel Bryan pulled great matches out of Sin Cara.
And he has, like, Amazon Porn as his theme song. I don't know what Amazon Porn would be, but that's the music it would have.
If you can do it, if Daniel Bryan can do it, there's no way that CM Punk can't do it.
That's me singing the Sin Cara.
CM Punk, great matches out of anybody. Right. I stand by it.
I'm not. Okay.
I stand by it, holding my sword aloft.
I think you could get a decent match out of people. I don't think you could get a great match out of everybody. And yes, I'm mumbling on the podcast. What are you going to do? Edit?
I'm not saying that it'll be a match of the year contender.
No, I don't think anyone is saying that.
I'm not even saying it'll be a five-star match. I do think, I would not be surprised, two-star.
I think the best Punk could pull out of Sin Cara would be a two-star match.
No, Sin Cara, okay. Don't you think Sin Cara regularly gets two-star matches?
No. Because his screw-ups are so, like, overshadowing of everything else that he does. I'm sorry.
I think a
I think a
one star match is like the match has to stop. Like the guys have to say, wait.
He's had that. We just haven't seen it because it's been on SmackDown. And they're like, okay, we're gonna redo this match because it was that one time.
Oh no!
Him and Heath Slater had a restart match like three times.
That I'll give that a one star match. I have no problem giving that a one
star. So he's had those matches.
I'm saying on a regular basis he has to have at least a two star match. Like, a one-star match has to be, like, they're standing there going,
I would think that would be a no-star match.
Oh, can we have no-star matches?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I was thinking when I said two-star.
Okay. Zero-star match is where they say, all right, wrestler A and wrestler B are going to fight, and wrestler A is going to win, and somehow wrestler B wins. That's a zero-star match.
Or if they have to restart at any point.
Any point they have to stop the match and restart.
And they weren't planning on restarting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Zero star match. Alright, fair enough. But then, okay, one star match still has to be, I feel, so bad. So unwatchable. So consistently awful. I feel like Kali can regularly have one star matches.
Well, seeing how most of his stuff usually goes as planned, yes.
Yeah.
Never, you know, bail middle of the match. But then again, the matches are usually like 30 seconds long.
Right. Again, I will get that match, the one we're talking about, the Sin Cara Heath Slater one, I will definitely give that 0 stars. And to stop a match and restart it, 0 stars. Boo. But I think regularly, he has at least 2-star matches.
I guess. It's just, what is the, like, the one thing Sin Cara is known for? Like, what are his highlights right now? Botches and getting thrown onto stuff.
Yeah.
The highlights of the big moments of his career is getting powerbombed by Sheamus through a ladder and getting pushed through a table by Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's a great wrestler.
He makes a great dart, is what I'm saying. He makes a great thing to be thrown.
Nowhere am I saying that I think Sin Cara is good. Let's not mistake that as my argument.
We're having one of those arguments, like we opened the show with. One of those arguments where we're pretty much arguing in circles. What I'm saying is I just think him sucking outweighs Punk's ability to pull a good match out of him.
I think that Sin Cara, okay,
80%. He could get a passable match out of him.
80% of a Sin Cara match is fine. And then there's 20% of crash and burn.
And absolutely right. It's just the thing is, when people walk away from that match, that 20% is what they're going to remember.
Okay. But you take that 80%. In a Punk match, when he's facing Punk, is going to be so much better than the 80% when he's facing Sheamus. Sheamus is random inserted name here.
I guess I get what you're saying.
You get that?
His 80% with Sin Cara would be better than his 80% with Sheamus?
The 80% of the Sin Cara match where Sin Cara faces CM Punk will right. be so much better than the 80% of the Sin Cara match where Sin Cara faces Sheamus.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
And I also believe that the 20% train wreck, I believe that CM Punk will be better apt to deal with that, plus will be more...
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Plus, CM Punk... his ability to wrestle and to adjust his style is such that it will be more likely that Sin Cara will botch less, bringing that 80% to a 90 to 93%. 93% is an A, even by high school standards.
You do realize that your numbers are completely arbitrary. Have no basis.
They're not arbitrary. I picked them so I could get to A. They were made for that very specific purpose.
These numbers are true because I made them up.
Yes. Concur.
Oh, Joel, I don't think you get how numbers work.
We need to start making predictions of actual matches. Not this hypothetical CM Punk Sin Cara match.
Okay,
come on.
I was gonna try to come up with another random wrestler for CM Punk to face. That would be horrible. But I decided
it
wasn't worth.
No, you hit him. Sin Cara, Kali, and Hornswoggle.
Oh God, I didn't think about Hornswoggle.
And he'd still somehow do something great with Hornswoggle. He'd like kick him, like when what's his name punted the baby.
Well, that is. This gating just goes straight up. It's not my fault.
All right. Pre-show. Brodus Clay and Tensai versus Team Road Scholars.
Didn't Road Scholars break up?
Not anymore. Back together. Best friends forever.
And they get crushed by these two bumbling idiots.
Yeah.
I get it. Turning Tensai face. Trying something different. I appreciate it. Best doesn't thing, mean I want to see it, though.
Best thing you could have done for Tensai? I really think, though, that... And we're critiquing comedy here, so, like... And that's a much more subjective thing. I really think...
Oh, yes, but your fake percentages aren't.
Oh, no. that's fake mathematical fact.
Oh, classroom gets tired, but we are good at maths. All of the maths.
I really think that Tensai should have stayed with Santino.
Didn't Santino get hurt or something?
Did he?
I vaguely think he did.
I haven't read
that. I don't know.
Anyway, you know, maybe.
We haven't seen him in a couple weeks.
We haven't seen him in a couple weeks. But I think that Brodus Clay is content silly. And Santino is desperately shooting for the stars and failing constantly. And I think that Tensai works better in that desperately shooting for the stars and failing situation.
Fair enough. I mean, they're the new toy, so I'll say that Tensai and Brodus will probably win.
I'm going to say Road Scholars because the other one makes me cry.
I know.
I can't bring myself to say Brodus Clay and Tensai are going to win. So no, I'll go Road Scholars on this one.
Half a math? Yeah.
93?
No, my maths aren't arbitrary either. So suck on that.
Alright. Antonio, Cesaro, and The Miz.
If we can just get the entire match of Cesaro throwing Miz into the guardrails, I'm okay with that. If that's just the match right there, I could just... There's probably... I need to find a GIF. File.
Oh, it's up. I've already.
Oh, it is? Okay, sweet.
I got you. I got you for this. Okay. I predict Cesaro to win this one.
Yeah. Maybe Miz can make it out without screwing up his ankle this time.
I would like to see something nice out of Miz because I still feel like the company wants Miz to be really good.
Yeah, and in that instance, don't you think they would have the Miz win this then?
They want him to be good. I'm not saying he is good.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I would think that they would book this so Miz would win, finally overthrow Cesaro, blah, blah, blah. If they're trying to build him as a face, which they're trying really hard to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I were to look at this feud as a whole, I would say, yeah, eventually Miz will be the one to take the United States Championship. But the build-up to this one does not seem to... I mean, if he does, it'll be no great shock, because that's what I feel is the eventuality. Although next you have... The next pay-per-view you have is WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you rather have it happen here, and then have Miz defend at WrestleMania, or would you rather have that month and a half build up?
Either way, I don't think we're going to see a U.S. Championship match at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania?
We usually don't. Right. I'm still surprised we got an Intercontinental Championship match last year.
Yeah.
Usually the mid-card belts don't even make it to the show.
Well, they're like the pre-show.
Yeah, that or the tag teams, yeah.
Pre-show, it was when it was the first Daniel Bryan, Sheamus.
It was a dark match.
Yeah. Yeah. The pre-show. Your Divas match is Caitlyn versus Tamina.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Something I learned. I did give it to Caitlyn.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because she has it still. Jack Swagger versus Chris Jericho versus Daniel Bryan versus Kane versus Mark Henry versus Randy Orton. Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. These are the guys that we're going to see in the heavyweight championship match at WrestleMania.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to... Because I could probably make an argument for any of these guys, to be honest with you. And all of them seem to be riding this, like, gray area of face and heel.
Yeah.
Except for Swagger. Swagger's pretty much all on heel and with his Mr. Grumpy McRacist friend.
Mustachio gentleman.
That mustache is pretty
nice mustache.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Del Rio or Big Show holding the champion theoretically till WrestleMania. However, the rumors are that at one point they wanted Randy Orton versus Sheamus for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
They're a lot more willing to have the heavyweight championship change hands on TV.
Right.
So there's still that possibility, and obviously there is the perpetual Dolph Ziggler has a briefcase possibility.
To be honest with you, I think Ziggler would cash in before WrestleMania. I think
to defend at WrestleMania.
Right.
If
he doesn't do it at Elimination Chamber, because that's a very good possibility that it would happen.
It would happen in Elimination Chamber.
But then we run into the whole issue of, you know, rematches with Del Rio and stuff.
Yeah. There have been some rumblings of Ziggler turning face soon-ish.
I had heard that as well, yeah.
And the crowd around where WrestleMania is going to be taking place has in the past been very positive, supportive
mm-hmm.
of Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, will that trigger be pulled pre-WrestleMania so that if there is crazy cheering for Ziggler at WrestleMania?
I mean, okay, let's look at the potential matches. Okay.
And you know, and we'll go ahead and throw in your prediction, if you're predict the World Heavyweight Championship match as well, because...
Right. Yeah, that's essentially how to do this. Okay, Jack Swagger, they would put, to be honest with you, the way they're setting him up with the, you know, I'm a real American
guy. Oh, he'd go against Del Rio.
He would go against Del Rio, especially with his, you know, racist friend. Chris Jericho could go really either way, but they're really pushing him face this time.
Right.
So, you know, obviously I would go with probably Ziggler on that.
I would love to see that
match.
Because
that would be a bigger story.
Right.
Because Chris Jericho, the reason he left in the first place was because of Dolph Ziggler.
Right. And they have continued to bring that up.
They have.
That is not a thing
they
got rushed in the
bring that up. And I mean, Chris Jericho, when he came back last time, he came back specifically because of the match with CM Punk, and they planned the whole thing out.
Right.
So, there's that. Daniel Bryan,
Daniel Bryan and Kane both, I don't think they're going to...
No, I think they're going to do something between him and Kane. Yeah. For WrestleMania, either they're teaming together or they're against each other, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So you know, there's Kane, Mark Henry. I don't know.
Mark Henry, if they've brought him back so recently, you'd want to kind of keep him near a spotlight. I would put him against a face Ziggler. If I knew that Mark Henry was going to be,
but then again they were kind of flirting with putting Mark Henry face, still doing his Hall of Pain.
Hall of Pain.
Yeah, but as a face,
I would rather heel Henry face Ziggler.
To be honest with you, I would put it past him and try to do Henry versus Big Show again.
I don't need that.
No, I don't need it either. Absolutely. And that leaves us with the Orton possibility, and, you know, that would probably be more of an Orton-Ziggler thing.
Yeah. Well, okay, if that happens, I still believe Orton-Sheamus, because Sheamus, while he's in the Shield match this time around, mm-hmm. Sheamus obviously is going to be at WrestleMania doing something.
Something, yeah.
So I would not be surprised to see him get shoehorned back into the title picture.
I think the best story here would be Jericho and Ziggler.
Jericho and Ziggler.
Okay. So I'm gonna go with Jericho.
You've convinced
he's never,
me.
Yeah, because, I mean, one, he's has, never won chamber, has he?
Not that I know
yeah,
of.
Yeah, he won the heavyweight championship.
In the chamber?
Yeah.
That's, and then, he and won, then went I, on to fight, cause that was the year Edge won.
Yep.
And that's, yeah, that's, because that's the year Shawn Michaels interfered and kept The Undertaker from winning.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
Well, we'll take away that line, but still, you know, the Jericho storyline, I think it would be a lot more.
No, that's what I want to
say. A lot more dots being connected.
Yeah. So, you well thought of. You've convinced
and
me.
You know what? I didn't even think about that until we started talking about it.
Chris now. Jericho. I lock in my prediction for Chris Jericho.
Hooray.
That means it doesn't matter who wins. So I'm going to say Del Rio wins. So that Ziggler has somebody to cash in on.
Right, and, you know, Ziggler. I mean Ziggler's going to get some kind of... Well, I mean, he would get more heat if he was cashing in against Del Rio, obviously.
Yeah.
I think the crowd's going to be going nuts regardless, to be honest with you.
But if he's supposed to stay heel through WrestleMania, he'd cash in on a face. So, Del Rio to win, Ziggler to cash in sometime in the near future. The Shield versus Super Friends.
I mean, come on.
Super Friends.
There's, yeah, with WrestleMania looming and John Cena on one team, what do you think's going to happen? Come on, you know?
Remember when he fought Kane last year? God, that bummed me out.
Me too. I was so done with Kane by Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania and, you know, his matches with Randy Orton. I was mm-hmm. just done. Team friendships, he's... I mean, I'll always love Kane, but...
Kane does that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember... Let me take you back to... It was after Undertaker was taking an extended leave after facing Shawn Michaels, and he came back...
Against Kane
at SummerSlam.
Kane had the heavyweight belt, I think.
I don't know. I'm not even sure if it was for a title.
No, because Kane had the belt.
Did Kane have the belt?
Mm-hmm. Because Kane won Money in the Bank, cashed in that
right,
night.
Right.
Because he was the only one that cashed in one night.
Right. But there was that moment where...
Same year that Miz won it.
There was that moment. I think it was at Hell in a Cell, too, because it was... And Undertaker was, you know, doing his supercharge thing, mm-hmm. and all the lights were going crazy. I'm like, Hell in a Cell, you know, Brothers of Destruction, final fight. This is Kane's retirement moment. Here we are. We're watching Kane retire. As we speak, and then the twist was that no,
he got Paul, the power from the urn.
Paul Bear betrayed him, and
right.
blah 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 blah. We're here, we are today. But like, that's the thing is, like, Kane keeps coming back. I keep being like, that's it.
I still want to know why Nexus helped him at the buried alive.
I want to know what Triple H was going to tell Shawn Michaels at his retirement speech.
Yeah, I really thought
more than anything else.
You knew he was going to come out the closet.
More than anything else, that's what I wanted to know.
Triple H always wanted a piece of the Heartbreak Kid. Not in the ring, but in the bed.
I did.
In the boudoir.
That is the one thing. If I could have one storyline resolved, that would be it. Is what was Triple H going to say?
I think that's why we're always going to kind of hate Sheamus a little bit.
A little bit? Because you ruined that storyline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sheamus, you jerk. Alright, finally, Rock versus CM Punk. Because it's so obvious what the outcome's gonna be, you have to predict why they have made a point to have the disqualification would be the whole thing they added in.
I mean, there's not a huge point to me. It might not even be that big of a deal. Because they used that same stipulation last second for Punk and Jericho at WrestleMania last year.
Yeah. That was just to be able to call it a no-holds-barred match. Make it right. Sound big deal.
Right.
I would not be surprised if Paul Heyman interferes on behalf of The Rock in an attempt to auto that belt back to CM Punk. As we approach WrestleMania, Paul Heyman needs to start focusing his attention on Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Less on Punk. Punk can hold his own.
And I really thought they were going to do that now. But, you know, whatever.
Well, soon. As it approaches. I don't know. I think that the time is fast approaching for Paul Heyman and CM Punk to break up.
Even with their emotional moment where they just laid out all their feels on the ring.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No question.
I don't know. This one, like...
It's more...
We know the outcome, we just don't know how they're going to get there.
It's more being a giddy fan that Paul Heyman and CM Punk are in the ring at the same time than it's doing either of them really good.
Right.
Like, I love that they're there because it's, you know, it's two guys that I really love. And yeah. But it's not doing any of them any great favors. And so I think there's that more they can do more for the company separate than they can together.
I would like to just see a straight up match between the two. I would much rather see that than anything else. Or like I said, just lower the cage and just have them just have their match between just the two of them. And no one can get in.
Go at it.
You know, that would be like. A very clean, straight-up match, or that would be my best options.
It depends, for me, it depends on whether or not they will eventually put Punk in the title match at WrestleMania.
It all depends on if Taker's ready to go.
And if they don't, this is Rock and Punk's last match together. Possibly forever. I mean, you know.
This could be it, yeah.
Comparing, you know, basing on when The Rock finds time to come back and how much longer he's ring ready, how much longer Punk's willing to do stuff.
Yep.
You know, I would not be surprised either way. They could meet again down the road.
Sure.
But not for a while. And definitely not in this feud. This will be the last one. So yeah, in that case, I would like a really good, straight, solid match. At the same time, Rock has to look good, and Punk has to look good. Punk has to look worthy of challenging for the streak. And
that's another
thing. And a clean loss might not do that.
Well, yeah, you're right.
So, I can understand the need for having to have some shenanigans happen there.
Right.
But yeah, prediction-wise, The Rock's going to win. The Rock's going to go home with the belt.
Yeah, I can't really disagree. And I mean, yeah, it's like it's one of those things where I don't know what they're going to do here.
Don't know what they're going to do, but it will all be to serve whatever stories they decide to go with come WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. And we finally get this pay-per-view kind of out of the way to actually get to... The real stuff, yeah. You know.
Yep. And that's the curse of the Elimination Chamber. It's the middle child pay-per-view.
It is the middle child, but again, like, I've always loved Elimination Chamber matches, and I think that putting that there in between Rumble and WrestleMania is a good, in like a kind of a tentpole situation.
I think that is a very specific spot that you need to have a gimmick pay-per-view at.
Oh, absolutely.
Because... You know, in order to have an additional appeal to that thing.
We're just disappointed that there's only one Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah, bummed out. But
there's but always then again, they only did one Hell in a Cell match this year.
Yeah. Well, I don't like
Hell in a Cell. But yeah. I'm just saying that's one, you know.
Right.
Makes me wonder if they're going to go to one Money in the Bank. And just have it be like WrestleMania Money in the Bank, where, you know, the winner can go after either.
Either, yeah. Because it feels like, because of where Dolph is, it feels like almost a step backwards to have him go for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have brought up, like, you know, why can't he just cash in for the WWE? Like, they have had greater stretches in storytelling than that.
Oh, yeah.
But...
And it seems like, you know, that's a detail that they usually don't always bring up, that it has to be for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right. So, it might be better next year.
I feel like it's kind of, it was an old video, back when Punk had Money in the Bank, and it was a video that went up on WWE.com where, I believe, what's his name? I can't think of his name, but he was interviewing Maurice. She was the Divas champion at the time, and Punk kind of walked by in the background, eyed his briefcase, and kind of gave the Divas belt like a big, wide-eyed glare, and just walked away. I thought that was the best thing ever, because technically he could go after
any championship. Yeah. I think he should go after the tag teams.
He should. Yeah, he should go for the tag teams.
Yeah, no, I want one guy to hold the tag team championship.
I know you do.
I want it to be Mick Foley. I want it to be Dude Love and Cactus Jack tag team champions. But
yeah,
we're a little beyond that.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit.
So, all right, I think that's about it for me.
That is it for me, sir.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, tweeting every Mondays. Much entertainment.
Yes, and if you have any questions, comments, hate mail, anything you want us to bring up on the show, you could email us at classicringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, classicringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast, as well as plenty of other wrestling
shenanigans. And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, we are on iTunes. You can look us up there. You can subscribe. You can write reviews. You can give us stars.
5 stars.
It helps us out.
5 stars.
It gives you a brand new episode, automatically downloaded.
That was my Paul Bear.
Best day ever. Beautiful, sir.
Thank you.
All right, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.